Okay, so
Last
if you remember
in a couple
yesterday,
of months.
if you remember,
Okay, starting with the second.
okay, if you remember yesterday, we were talking about the mitzvah of Yibum and whether a sris is chayav in the mitzvah of Yibum or chalitza, really. So we were speaking about, well, within Rabbi Akiva, so we had a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Reb Lezer. So that we said there are two types of srisim. One is a sris adam, a person who during his life becomes a sris, let's say through an accident or whatever, like he's, castrated or otherwise injured. And then there's a sris kama, somebody who can generally was a sris. So the Tana Rabbi Akiva held that if he's a sris adam, then he's in the parsha for chalitza. He can't do yibum because it's lo yavo p'suda kabba kur Hashem, but he could do chalitza. But on the other hand, if he's a sris kama, then he's got nothing to do with it. He's totally out of the parsha, and he has no shaychus to chalitza or yibum. And then, according to the Tana Reb Lezer, it's pumfaker, just the opposite. If he's a sris kama, then he's in the parsha for yibum and chalitza. And I was asking Rabbi Sadlovsky today. So, according to Reb Lezer, he could even do yibum, according to Reb Lezer. But if he's a sris adam, then he can't. And the Reb Lezer, reasons that the sris chama is capable of refuah. Okay, so now the Gemara on Peyam
I
and
missed it.
Aleph.
It's capable
Please,
of.
please, 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 please. I'll pause in 5 minutes and you'll ask questions. Okay, give me just 5 minutes. All right, now, all right. Welcome. So I was just beginning. So again, so I'm repeating. So last night we did the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Reb Lezer. We're on Daf Pei today. So Rabbi Akiva and Reb Lezer are diametrically opposed. So we're dealing with if the surviving brother, Reuven was married to Rachel. Reuven dies. His brother Shimon is a sris. So we said there's two types of srisim. There's a sris adam, where the person became a sris during his lifetime, either through injury or something. And then there's a sris chama, somebody who congenitally was a sris. So the Tana Rabbi Akiva learns that he's a sris adam, then he's in the parsha for Yibam and Chalitza because he was fertile at one point in time, but he can only do chalitza. He can't do yibum because he's suadaka, so he can't do yibum, but he'll do chalitza. But on the other hand, a sris chama, which is a person who's congenitally sris, he has no chelek with yibum or chalitza. And the Tana Reb Lezer holds kofakir, just the opposite. If he's a sris chama, so the Tana Reb Lezer, reasons that look, he's got all his anatomical parts, maybe he could have refuah. So therefore, he's in the parsha for Yibam and Chalitza. And I was saying, Rabbi Slavsky says he could even do Yibam according to Reb Lezer, whereas the Sris Adam can it would not be in the parsha for it. Okay, that's what we did yesterday. So we're on Peyam and Aleph, 10 lines down. So it's Tana. So the Gemara says Reb Lezer Omer Lo Kivachulei Suraminu. So now we pose a contradiction within the sheet of the Tana Reb Lezer. So again, Reb Lezer holds that the Sris Chama is the superior one, and he's the one who's going to be in the parsha for Yibum and Chalitza. Raminu, we pose a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechet Nida. The Mishnah says, "Ben Esrim Shana Vloivich De Sa'arod." If a person is 20 years old and he hasn't developed signs of puberty, he doesn't have hairs coming out. So, and he's the surviving brother. It means if Reuven was married to Rachel and then Reuven died, and Shimon, who's the surviving brother, they're waiting for him, and he's already 20 years old, and he doesn't have sa'arot. Yavirayashu ben Esrim. So the family, Rachel's family, in other words, Rachel wants to move on in life, but she needs Yibam or Chalitza. But you can only do Yibam or Chalitza if you're a gadol. So you have to have, 13 years in a day and have simanim, but he's got the years, but he doesn't have the simanim. So Yavirayashu ben Esrim. So her family will bring evidence that Shimon is 20 years old, who has saris, and there'll be evidence, we'll see other evidence that he's a saris. Lo choleitz v'lo miyaveh. So then she walks. She doesn't do chalitz, doesn't give him. Now, this is just the opposite of what Reb Lezer held in our Mishnah. This Mishnah is saying that if a person is a sris chama, he's out of the parsha with Yibam and chalitz. It's just the opposite of what the Tana Reb Lezer said in our Mishnah. And we're going to see this is going to reflect the opinion of Reb Lezer. But a stream below sa'arot. This is conversely, let's say the surviving widow is 20 years old and she didn't bring sa'arot and she's not showing signs of puberty. If you raya shehi bat esrim, so we'll bring evidence that she's 20 years old, v'hi ha'ailoni, and establishing, we'll have other evidence that she's an ailoni, lo cholas eplomet yabemet, debrei ben Hillel. So ben Hillel says, in these cases, there's no chalitza, no gibum. He says, u'beit shamai omrim, beit shamai says, zev zev b'nei shmona. So ben Hillel says, we're going to wait till everybody's 20 years old. Beit shamai says, we're going to wait till they're 18 years old. He says, now here's Reb Lezer. We see Reb Lezer, the lights go off because he's the one we're interested in. Reb Lezer Omer has a chark in Beit Hillel. Reb Lezer says, as far as males are concerned, we'll follow Beit Hillel, 20 years old. And the Kiva, the Beit Shammai. And then when it comes to females, we'll follow Beit Shammai, 18 years old. Because a woman develops quicker than a man. So if she doesn't have Siman by age 18, and then we have other corroborating evidence that she's an Ilonite, we're going to assume she's an Ilonite. So again, so the contradiction here is we're just focusing on the Tana Reb Lezer. We'll leave everybody else out. The Tana Reb Lezer holds that if the surviving brother is a Sri Schama, in other words, he never develops Simanim, in other words, from congenitally, so he doesn't do Yibum or Chalitza. And our Mishnah, Reb Lezer said, you do Yibum or Chalitza if you're a Sri Schama. So that's the stira. We have a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechet Nida. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so we have to reconcile the stira, the contradiction. So Amar Rami Bar Dikuli, Amar Shmuel, Chazabo Reb Lezer. So Rami Bar Dikuli says, that Reb Lezer retracted his position. So the question is, which position did he retract? There's only two possibilities. Either possibility A, he holds like he does in the Mishnah here in the Masechet Yevamot, that a Sri Schama is in the parsha of Yibum Chalitza, and he had previously held like the Mishnah Masechet Nida, and he retracted that. And our Mishnah reflects his later opinion. Or not that way. Or maybe he initially held like our Mishnah, and then he retracted it, and then basically agreed with Rabbi Akiva. So which way did it go? So the Gemara says, the question was asked in the base medrash, from which position did he retract? Did he retract from the position in the Mishnah Yevamot, or retract the position in the Mishnah Masechet Nida? So Tashma, D'Tanya, Reb Lezer Omer, now we're learning a Braisa now. So the Braisa says that Reb Lezer says, Sri Schama cholates v'chotzen le'ishto. So this is like our Mishnah in Yevamo. He says, Sri Schama does do chalitza. Shekein b'minan mitrapim b'Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. Because those type of people who are afflicted, there's a cure for them in Alexandria in Mitzrayim. It sounds like Alexandria is the most advanced city, it seems like. So the now let's look at the Rashi. Let's look at everybody in the Rashi. It's around 15 lines above where it gets wide. Tashma Hule, he says, he matnitin, in other words, that he, in other words, this Bryce is like our Mishnah, and that's the way he holds. Bisami Hakhtalael Mikami Tarti. So we should remove, in other words, we're gonna sort of like delete the opinion that's stated in Masechet Nida in favor of the two positions, or the one position stated in our Mishnah, and the Braisa. So the first way Rashi understands it, you have two versus one. Whereas I have a Mishnah and a Braisa, say one way, and the other Mishnah in Nida says the other way. We're going to weigh it that way. Inami, or in the alternative Rashi, says, since this Braisa brings evidence for Blezer from an actual situation in Alexandria that can cure people like that, so from there I could deduce that he retracted his position in Masechet Nida. Masechet Nida says he's out of the Parsha. I can't deduce that from our Mishnah here in Nida, in Yevamot. Here he said also they have Refua. From the Bashma, this far coming. Like here, like logically, he said they have Refua. But the fact that in the Braisa, he says they actually have in Alexandria, that we think is his final position. Okay, so again, so the way that Rami Bar Dikuli is saying in the name of Shmuel, Reb Lezer initially held like the Mishnah Masechet Nida, that a Sri Schama, in other words, like initially he held like Rabbi Akiva, that a Sri Schama, he held like Rabbi Akiva, that a Sri Schama is not in the Parsha for Yibum or Chalitza. And then he retracted that. And then he held like his position is stated in the Mishnah Masechet Yevamot and the Braisa. Just a few more lines. I'll pause. We'll summarize and we'll take questions. Okay. So the Gemara says, Reb Lazar Omer, and we have Reb Lazar. Remember, we learned a little over a week ago on Daf Ayin Beis. Remember that there's Reb Lazar. So Reb Lazar in the Gemara, the Amoraim is Reb Lazar Bar Padat. Remember Reb Yochanan, you know, had a conversation and like, or Reb Lazar Bar Padat had this whole theater study said Reb Yochanan. So here's the Amor. It's the Tanis Reb Lazar Ben Shemua. So Reb Lazar Omer, Ulam Lo Hadarbe. Reb Lazar said he didn't retract anything. B'chitnan Hahi La'onshin. When in the Mishnah in Masechet Nida, he had the position of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Then at the end of the Mishnah, all Reb Lazar said, was back in the Mishnah, around midway down the column, it says, Reb Lazar Meir has a car to Beit Hillel and a keva to Beit Shammai. So now it's like Beit Hillel, 20, and the keva like Beit Shammai. He wasn't talking about a sris or anything else, according to this shot. He was just saying, for the Bezdin, in other words, Bezdin judges a person, the Bezdin Shalmata, we judge a person, let's say the Mechal Shabbos, whatever they do, they engage in adultery, so they're judged, but they have to be a gadol to be judged. So how old is a god? Gadol is 13, but he has to bring simanim, then we judge him. But if he's 13 or 14 or 15, doesn't have simanim, then we're going to assume he's a katan. But he's saying that once he gets to be 20, if he's male, or 18 is a female, then we can assume that they're a sris or an ilony. Now, whether we'll go back retroactively or not, we'll see back in the Gemara, but that's all he's saying. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the basic idea we started off with, we said there's two types of srisim, sterile people. There's the sris Adam and sris Cham. Sris Adam, he was injured later in life, and now he's sterile, physically injured. And then there's a sris Chama, where from birth he was that way. So so in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah said he heard one halakha by sris that he's in the Parsha, another halakha sris not in the Parsha. So Rabbi Kivas held the one you heard that he's in the Parsha is talking about sris Adam. Sris Adam was, fertile at one point in time, so he's the one who could do chalitza. He can't do yibum because he's suadaka, but he could do chalitza. The other one, the sris Chama, was never in the Parsha. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. And then Rabbi Lezer in the Mishnah says, he says, the Sris Chama, he's the one who's in the Parsha because there's refuah for him. So maybe he will, all his anatomy is there. It's just something else is wrong. So maybe he'll get it together. And so he's in the Parsha for Yibun Chalitza, but the Sris Adam is not. And then we remember which way, and we had a steerer from the Mishnah, Masechet Nida. So it's either that he retracted the position that's held in the Mishnah, the Masechet Nida, and the Mishnah, the position that's in our Mishnah here in Yavamot is the final, or there was no position that he said in Masechet Nida. All he was saying in Masechet Nida was a different halacha. He was just saying, for adulthood, we're going to judge men from age 20 if they haven't brought Simanin, women from age 18 if they haven't brought Simanin, but he wasn't saying anything about Sris. Okay, Ruth, did you have a question before, Ruth? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
You clarified it.
Look at that, Ruth. Look at that. Okay, now, Daniel, you have a question.
Yeah. You mentioned that the age of 20 is for people who do not yet have simanim in terms of adulthood.
Right.
But there is such a thing that the Beit Din Shalmala and Shamayim, you have the age of 20. In other words, are these 18 and 20 impinging on that, or is it totally separate issue?
We're talking about Beit Din Shalmala, the earthly court. That's what we're talking about.
In other words, in terms of deciding for adulthood?
In other words, let's say Yabin and Nefashosh, we execute somebody. So we have to be sure he's a gadol before we execute him or try him. So he's not a gadol, he's not in the parsha.
Why don't you go with bar mitzvah, but mitzvah that is normally the
No.
Because you have to have signs also.
Being the bar mitzvah is not enough. We rely on a chazaka of
Rabba. Saying that it's,
rely on a chazaka of Rabba, the presumption that he already has simanim. But for like a dinim deraisa, you have to have the age and the simanim.
So are we saying that if they do not have the hormonal signs of adulthood, that means that mental maturity for them to be Hayab Dinei Nefashot is not there? What's the connection?
No, in other words, we're saying when are they considered to be adults? So we'll see the next, wait for the next sugya. Wait for the next sugya, okay? But right now we're saying that age 20 for a man, age 18 for a woman, they haven't told Simanim, they're adults. Okay, what's up, Rafi?
Not from the
public, no, I don't know that. They were Akurim.
They say Sarah was Ilonit. It is brought down.
Well,
so what Fina, so one thing, we have in that Fina brings you whatever you want. So Most people can get married. Maybe they have kids.
So which way do you want to argue?
Adam, so
Sris
Adam should be
able to get married. No, Sris Adam is one who was injured. You mean the Sris Chama?
Sris Chama. Yeah.
So in other words, you like right. You, in other words, you like Reb Lezer's opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
they say in Alexandria they used to heal them. Apparently, yeah. Hormonally and otherwise.
I'm not sure. The only thing I'm not sure it's exactly the same thing. I've never seen where the Avodah referred to as being Srisim. Akurim. Well, Sris.
I think they say that Sarah was an Ilonite.
Yeah, we'll see in a minute. Or we'll see a certain Simanim with the Sris. We'll see. Wait till Lamed Beis. Wait till we do the whole. Okay.
And also,
let me get to Yosef. What's up?
Why wouldn't Sarah be the other one? Or you could do
Why? Yeah, so we said because he holds. He holds that the Sris, in other words, the only reason once we say the Sris is in the Parsha, because he's subject to Refuah, there's no difference from Yibam or Chalitza for him. In other words, if he can do Chalitza, he can do Yibam. That goes hand in glove. That's because he's a Suadaka. In other words, he's injured, so he's a Suadaka. He can't come a Kal. So that's why he can't do the Yibam. But otherwise, he could. So the Sris Chama has all the anatomy there. He's not Suadaka. He's just sterile. No. Again, let's go back. We said there's two types of Srisim.
Right.
One is the Sris Adam. Sris Adam, he's physically injured. In other words, he's castrated or something happened to him. So he's a Ptuadaka. He can't come a cow. The other one, he looks normal. Everything's normal. It's just happens to be a Sris. Okay, we'll see. Okay, now I'm going to move on. Okay, let's all focus on the Gemara. We've got to move on and let us focus on the Gemara. Okay, so we're 15. Okay, hey, I'm an Aleph. Let's all focus. Okay, we're up. The first word in line is Itmar. Okay, let's all focus. Okay, so Itmar, Achal Chaylev ben Shemes Revi Yomachad, and Shbonish ben Shmonis Revi ben Oldibos Shmonis Trias. So even though it's this statement is Lashon Zafar, but Rashi and the Balei Tosfos will point out we're talking about a female. If you look at the top Tosfos, he says ben Akeva Ivi Uchreb Lezer. It was talking about a female. So Achal Chelev, you know, says he ate Chelev, means that she ate Chelev. He benched famous Trevi Omechad, I benched Monesrei. So in other words, and you see it from the dates. It says 12 and 18. So 12 is only shayach by women, yeah. And 18 is shayach by women also, according to Reb Lezer and according to Beit Shammah. So means you have a young woman, let's say she was 15, and she ate Chelev, let's say Bishogeg. So the question is going to be, is she tied of the Korban Chatat? So, the Nodubo Siman is Sris. And then she had also had all the Simanim. It means for Ilonit. Even though it's a Sris, it means an Ilonit. She had the Simanim for an Ilonit. And then, after she was 18, she got some Sa'arot. That's going to be irrelevant. It says, in other words, the last piece is like a red herring. Rav Amar Nasa Sris Lamafreya. And what says Sris means an irony. So Rav says retroactively we'll view her as an adult from age 12, but she's an irony. In other words, that's the way Rav says. In other words, once she gets to be 18, doesn't have any Simanim, so it's clear she's never going to get Simanim. Or what it was Simanim when we're going to discount. In other words, she's an irony. But we're going to say that she's an adult from age 12. Now, in other words, if she would be, let's say, a regular person, develops Simanim when they're 15, say they became an adult at 15. She never developed Simanim between 12 and 18.
What happened at 18?
Then after 18, she had some Sa'arot, but we're going to discount the Simanim later on. That's why I said it's a red herring. So she's an adult, but she became an adult retroactively when she was 12. So in this example, she became a Korban Chatat, because she had the Chelev, let's say, when she was 15. Ushulamar Katani Abu Tashal. Shmuel says, no. She's an adult, but she's an adult from 18 forward, not going back retroactively. All right? Now the Gemara says, Matkipa Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks the strong Kasha. He says, the Rav, I learned the Rameir, Yehela Kanas. Now, this is referring to a different Gemara in Sefer Tubot, which is in the beginning of the third parak there, which is the Ilun Aro, which is coming up in Daf Yomi. Another just maybe 2 months from now. So if you can try to remember this. So in the Torah, in Parshas Kitetzei, it talks about a person who rapes a na'ara, so he owes her a chamishin kesef as knas. The other damages, you know, are also you know, like Tsar and Ripui and things like that. But the but he has a knas of Chamishin Kesef, and he has to offer to marry her. That's what the Torah says. Let us wait and listen and then ask questions in 5 or 10 minutes. That's the rules of the road. Just bring out a pad with you and a pen and write down all the questions. Okay? So the so there's a machloket there in the Gemara Pesachos between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. When the Torah says that the person is happening with a Nara, Reb Meir holds Dafka Nara. Nara is this 12-month period between 12 to 12 and 6 months. So if, let's all listen and make all the comments and commentaries in 5 minutes, okay? Well, the Perish, everybody will have a Perish, and we'll have it, okay. Now, so now, according to the Tan Reb Meir, if he rapes a katana, then there's no Chamishin Kesef. If he makes a boat, rapes a boat garret, there's also no Chamishin Kesef. And the dinner marrying her also doesn't apply. It's only for a Nara. That's according to Reb Meir. And the Chachamim say, no, it could be a katana or a Nara. And when the Torah says Nara, it's to exclude a boat garret. Okay, that's the Machloket in the Gemara Masechet Ketubot. So now, the Gemara wants to say that according to Rav, it comes out retroactively. When she was 12, her status was changing, right? So this girl, this Iloni, who didn't develop simanim until she was 18, so she was really, according to Rav, an adult, you know, from 12. So at 12, most girls go from katana to nara. That's where they go, katana to nara. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Makdav Rav Yosef, L'Rav, Iloni, the Rav Meir, Yehela Knas. So Rav Yosef says, according to Rav, so according to Reb Meir, an Iloni should also be in that parsha. That's what he says. Now, 1 second. Now, the only thing is, in Masechet Ketubos, we learn Iloni ein la knas. So the Gemara in Ketubos does not this way. But if everything Rav said is correct, so Reb Meir should hold that the Iloni is chayav knas, or is it obligate? Right. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, Rav Yosef mikatnu tayat to tell the beggar. Rabbi says, Rav will say that she doesn't have a Nara state. So she goes from being a katana to a bogeret. There is no Nara for her. In other words, she's a katana till age 12, and then at age 18, we figured out that she was a bogeret at age, or she was katana up until age 12. Then at age 12, her status changed to bogeret, but we only discovered that when she was 18. That's why, according to Mayor, there's no knas. So Rav Yosef heard this. So Amar Len, and again, remember Abai was the Talmud of Rav Yosef, he's also the Talmud of Rabba. And remember Rav Yosef, he got his learning and Abai helped restore the learning, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Le, Koki Hani Mili Malgata, Yitam Rumi Shemoi. He says such wonderful things that I wish they would say in my name. He says, the Tanya, this is Rav Yosef speaking, as we learned in the Brisa, remember Rav Yosef had Bekias in the Brises, remember he says, so get the end of Brachot. He's the Marech Hitai, he knows all the Brises. So he says, Tanya, in a Sri Snidon, Kimen Storo Mora, this is a different halacha, which we do not hear, but let's focus on the halachas in the Brisa. The Saris, not judge Ben Storo Mora. So Ben Storo Mora is sort of like the wayward, you know, child, but he has a narrow window. It says, what is this? The Ishki, Ben, what does the Pasuk say? If a person has Ben Sorer Moreh, the Gemara learns in the Sanhedrin, it says Ish and it says Ben. So he can only be the Ben Sorer Moreh when he's like a Ben, but he's Samach Leish. So it means like right after his bar mitzvah, he's got a narrow window where he's eligible to be Ben Sorer Moreh. So let's see. This is a different halacha. So well, 1 minute. I think 3 months. But let's go back. Do it 1 minute. So it says to Tanya, in a Sris Dokin and Sorer Moreh, Lepisha Ain, and Sorer Moreh Nidon, Elabit Tzatzimatzakana Takto. In other words, a Saris can never be Ben Sorer Moreh. It's Ben Sorer Moreh. It's when two sorrows first appear till it begins to like fill out the Zakana Takto, and it's the pubic area. So a Saris doesn't have that, so he can never be a Ben Sorer Moreh. But this is the halacha we do need. Mean Iloni Nidoni Nara Hamurasa. An Iloni does not judge the Nara Murasa. Shemi katnu tayat salabegger goes immediately from katnus to bagrus. So in Achinami, Rabbi Yosef saying Abai is 100% correct. All right. Let's pause for 1 second. We'll review and then we'll take all our questions, ha'arot and perushim that people want to offer. So we said the topic we were discussing, you're dealing with a woman who's an Ilani or a man who's Sris. So, but they're not developing simanim. So we only know with certainty that they're an Ilani or Sris when they get to be 20 or 18. Then we know that that's what they are. But then what is their status between, let's say, age 13 and 20, or age 12 and 18 for the woman? Assuming like the Tanur of Elazar, somebody unmuted themselves, which is very bad. 1 second. All right. So the Gemara says, Rav says retroactively, we're able to determine that they were, in the case of a woman, a gadol from age 12 and a day. She was a gadol. And Shmuel says, no, she's only a gadola from age 18 forward. Okay. And then we said, let's say a woman had chelev when she was 15, b'shogeg. So according to Rav, she could have a korban chatak because she was a gadola. And according to Shmuel, not. Okay, so that's what we learned. And then we had a little bit of a side issue. Like, according to your mayor, should not only be chayev, the knas, but we were able to, say that Nailani doesn't have a period of naras. She just goes from katna to bogeret. Okay, let me hear from you, Daniel. What do you got for me?
Ilonit. So it's free for all. A person can come and, a raper, and there is no chamishim. And,
well, why do you need the Ilonit? Why do you talk about a regular woman?
Normally, a regular woman is going to have the chamishim.
No. Only the nara has that. According to Rameir, it's just limited to the nara.
Ages, but
so they're not getting words of the yeshiva dinner. It's like where Sobolovsky was saying to me, but you do have Nezek and Tsar and those other things, but you don't have the chamishim keset, and you don't have the offering to be a husband, a wife. Okay, what's up, Rafi?
I have a question.
Well, 1 second and we'll come to you. Okay. All right, what do you got for me, Ruth? Ruth, let me hear from you. Do you have a question?
Yes, okay. I do. Yeah, the whole point of evaluating her age, whether she's a minor from 12 to 15, 12 to 18, is how to evaluate the fine if she's raped. And that's the whole point. Yeah, that's what it's
saying. No. All right, listen, I'm going to say again, okay? Again, there's one issue we're discussing in our sugya and a different sugya in Masechet Ksubos. In Masechet Ksubos, Rebbeir says, the Torah says a Na'ara. The Torah says in Parsha Ki Tirtzeh that if a Na'ara is raped, she gets a fine of Chamishim Kesef, and he offers to marry her. There's a machloket, a disagreement there between Rebbeir and the Chachamim. Rebbeir holds only women who are Na'arot are the only ones who get the Chamishim Kesef, and not a Bogeret and not a Katana. And the Chachamim say only a Bogeret is excluded, but a katana or a nara get the chamishim kesef and the offer to marriage. That's the machloket over there. Now, what's your question?
No, it's the offer to marry is the carry-all to all of that, of the magnitude of the.
I don't understand your question. Repeat.
Never mind.
All right, I'm going to move on. Yeah, what's up?
Why do we say the deadline 18 and 20?
No. Laura's saying if you haven't had simanim by 18 or 18, 20, you're an Ilanit or a Sris. That's the rule of the road. Okay, so it means whatever develops afterwards, that's simanim the other way. It's just something else that's happening. Okay, you have to move on. We have to move on. I am sorry, you had your chance, but now we're moving on. That's 100% correct. Okay, now let's see back. So we're two lines above where it gets wide. I'm a Rabbi Abahu. Now, Rabbi Abahu says, now we think the way the Karen Ora understands it, where the arts were brought down, that he agrees, Rabbi Abahu agrees with Rav. So retroactively, will understand that the man or the woman became a gadol at age 12 or 13, 12 in the day or 13 in the day. So please, somebody's not muted. Let me help you. All right. So Amar Rabbi Abahu, Simani Sris Va'ailonit, Uben Shmona. Now, the Simanim first Sris, Simanim to establish that the person's a Sris. When Simanim to establish the person's an Ailonit, Uben Shmona. Ben Shmona is a person, a child that's born after an 8-month pregnancy. So Chazal take it that a child wouldn't live. So today they say they do live, but the Rabbanan Chazal say not. So Enosin Ben Maase, we wouldn't judge them as adults, Adhu Ben Esrim, until they're 20 years old. In other words, we're not going to judge them as adults until they're 20. And then when they're 20, then we could say retroactively that if it's a man, 20. Now, the Gemara says, Uben Shmona Mikichais. The Gemara said, would a fetus that's born, or a child that's born after an 8-month pregnancy, would he even live? Bahatani, we learn in the Braisa, Ben Shmona. Ben Shmona means he's born after an 8-month pregnancy. Hareyu Ke'evan means on Shabbat, that child is viewed as muksa. The child is muksa, like a stone, because we don't think he's going to live. Basur the Talfo, you're not allowed to move the child around. About Imo, his mother can bend over him to nurse him, turn page, top line on Payamadez, but they have Sakana. Because Sakana, and Rashi learns here, the top line in Rashi, Sakana, Sakana Shneim. Rashi says Sakana for the mother and for the child, it's like the mother will be in pain, so she's got to expel her milk. Now, there's a question, Rashi elsewhere learns just the sakana for the mother. The sakana for the child is a little tricky. So, but the point being that our Bryce says we're going to wait till they're 20. This Bryce seems to say the Ben Shmona is not going to live. So the Gemara says, Hacha b'may askinan, so what are we dealing with? Shigamru simanav. In other words, talking about a child whose simanim did develop. And we'll see in a minute. It means like his hair developed, his nails developed. He says, Tatani, we learn in the Bryce, Ezu Ben Shmona, Who's considered a Ben Shmona, a child born after 8 months? Koshlo Kalu Kharashav, in other words, if he didn't have a full-term pregnancy. Rebbe Omer, Simanim Mochichin Alav, that the Simanim will bring the evidence. Saro, but Siparnav Shlo Gamru, in other words, if his hair and his nails didn't develop, then we could say he's a Ben Shmona. So Tamad Lo Gamru, so the key is that the Simanim didn't develop. Hagamru, so if you see a child and the hair is developed and the nails have developed, Imrinan, Pai Bar Shivahu, Vishtahu Yehu Dishtai. So then we would assume that he's really a 7-month pregnancy that's just kind of stuck around in the womb for an extra month. In other words, Chazal teach that a 7-month child lives, a 9-month child lives, 8-month child doesn't live. So here, Rebbe's saying if the child is born after 8 months, but he's showing signs that he's going to stick around, his nails are developing, his hair is developing. So then we'll assume that he's really a 7-month pregnancy, just sort of hung around in the womb for an additional month. That's what he wants to say. Now, let me just read a few more lines. We'll pause, and I'll read a little bit, and then we'll have all our questions and comments and perushim. So the Gemara says, Ella, the Avid Rabba Tosfa Uvda. The Gemara says, Rabba Tosfa, paskin the case, Be'isha Shalach Ba'alon Dina Yam. A woman, her husband went off to the Delta Rhine. He went off, let's say she's in Eretz Israel or Babel, and her husband went off to France. So the woman gave birth 12 months after the husband left. So she's here, let's say, in Babel or whatever, in Sura, and then 12 months after the husband leaves, she gives birth. So it gives thought to one that you know, adultery, and then the child would be a mom's there. But Ashrei. And notwithstanding that, Rabbi Tosfa, he was machshir the child from a chashash mamzerus. So the Gemara says, come on, who is he paskening like? So the Gemara says, Mistama, he's going like to Rebbe, da'amar mishtaya. So it sounds like he was following Shita's yachid. We saw Rebbe says, sometimes you have a 7-month pregnancy, but it just kind of hangs out in the womb a little longer. So Mistama, he's thinking this was a 9-month pregnancy and was hanging around the womb a little longer. So he says here, so how could he pass like a Shitas Yachid, which is Rebbe? So the Gemara says, came into Ika Rav Shmuel Gamliel, the Amar Mishtoi, Kirabi Mahavad. So Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Rebbe's father, also holds that way. So we could say it's not a Shitas Yachid like the Rabbin. To Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, that if a child, you know, it means, even if, in other words, halu kadasha means it was a full-term pregnancy. But let's say it wasn't a full-term pregnancy. But if the child lasts 30 days, he's not a nafel. In other words, so there's a presumption if it's not a full-term pregnancy, the child, when he's born, will be a nafel. In other words, like a child is not going to live. But Rabbi Shmuel says, if the child lives 30 days, then we assume he's not a nafel. Meaning what? Let's see, look at the Rashi, the eighth narrow line, ain't a nafel. In other words, let's say it's an 8 month, the child's born in the 8th month, but he lasts 30 days. So Rosh Hashanah says he's not an Aphel. He says, we'll say that really he was completed after 7 months. They stay at Shmini and he hung around in the 8th month. So an animal is different. Okay, wait. You're going to talk? And then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? Let me get some sheets out. All right. So we're doing the Aladaf now. So the Gemara records an incident of a woman who gave birth after a 12-month period, and we did this whole thing already. The Ramban explains the reason Rabbitoh's father's will is willing to attribute the child's birth to a rare case of Ishtai, we might delay in the birth, is that until proven otherwise, there is a Chazaka presumption that the mother is an honorable and faithful wife. In other words, if you don't have any other evidence, one minute. The Ramah, citing the Tribus Maimoniot, rules that if the mother acted promiscuously in her husband's absence, we cannot attribute the birth of her child to an extraordinary occurrence, because the Chazaka Katra has been undermined by her behavior. So if we see the woman, you know, well, it doesn't look good, she's hanging around with this guy and not the other guy, then we're not going to give her this benefit of doubt, but otherwise give her the benefit of the doubt. If such a woman gives birth more than 10 months after her husband's departure, would be forced to consider the possibility the child has been fathered by another man in his mom's hand. Now, the Rambam codifies this ruling of Rava Tosfa'a and writes that the maximum time a fetus could linger in its mother's womb is 12 months. The Rif, however, in codifying this Gemara, while mentioning that it is possible for the birth of a Ben Shiva, maybe that was fully developed after 7 months of pregnancy, to be delayed 1 month, omits mention of Rava Tosfa'a's assertion that a 9-month baby could linger in the womb until the end of the 12th month. The Marshal comments that apparently the Rif disagrees with the Rambam and does not rule in accordance with Rabbi Tosfa'a that a baby could linger in the womb for such a long time. The Chasam Sofer takes the opposite approach. He says that the Rif did not cite the ruling of Rabbi Tosfa'a because he did not want to give the impression this halakha is limited to 12 months. Since the Rif mentions the concept that a baby sometimes lingers in the womb and he does not specify a maximum time limit for the lingering, we have to assume it's possible for it to linger even past the 12 months of pregnancy. Indeed, the Meiri writes that although the Gemara cites an example of a baby who lingered until the 12th month, it's possible to linger even longer. In fact, he relates an incident of a woman who was confirmed to have been pregnant for 15 months, causing people to believe that she was suffering from a serious stomach ailment. To everyone's amazement, however, she gave birth to a full-grown baby who appeared to be several months old. But the Hag rules even more leniently than the Meiri. He says that regardless of the period of time that the husband was abroad, he assumed the child was fathered by the husband. Even if the husband was away for such a long period, it was virtually impossible to father the child before departing for his trip. We consider the remote possibility that during his travels, he may have secretly returned home to visit his wife, either through natural or even supernatural means. Tosfos' contribution explains the Baha'i considers the possibility of a secret rendezvous only if the wife claims so. Or if the wife does not make such a claim, we must consider the child of mom's heir if he was born more than 12 months after the husband departed. All right. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything I said so far?
And if Adam said 12 months passed by, husband was away, you're going to give them the doubt business?
What can I tell you? What the Rama says, if, you know, so we're going to give her a Chesed Kashrus unless there's reason not to give her the Chesed Kashrus. Okay. Ruth, you want to say something?
No, I was going to ask you to slow down. When you read, it's hard.
Okay, I got it. Okay, let's move on. Now.
I guess you want to read it again?
Let's move on. Now. All right. So we're up to Tana Rabbanan, 10 lines down. So Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Sris Chama. Now, Sris Chama is the one who was congenitally a Sris from birth. So who's a Sris Chama? Kol Shu Ben Esrim. This is what we had discussed earlier. If he's 20 years old, so by the age of 20, he didn't develop any signs of puberty. Even if he develops the hairs, pubic hairs, and things like that afterwards, he's a sris. He says, the Elohim Simanav, these are the Simanim that corroborate that he's a sris. Kosha ain't no zakan, he has no beard. Usaro lakui, the hair he has is very soft. Uvisaro machlik, the skin is very smooth, like woman's skin. He says, Rabbi Shimigamalilom, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Yair, Koshin Maav Malin Retichot. He says, if his like urine doesn't show like foam. He says, Vieshom Rim, Kulametil Mayim, Veino Sekipa. Some say if like he urinates, it doesn't have an arch when he urinates. Vieshom Rim, Kul Shechvat Zero Docha. Some want to say if his Shechvat Zera is very watery, that's also a Simar. Vieshom Rim, see, that's what I wanted to say a little differently than what you were saying about Akurim before. So the Avo don't have to be Srisim. In other words, Akurim, you can have regular Shechvat Zera, but you're not able to give birth. You know what I mean? It's different than being a Sris. The Sris has got physical problems with him. He's Akur, everything's fine. The Shechvat Zera is fine, but he just doesn't have a children. Okay, now, Yeshomrim, Kol Sheimimi Raglav Machmitim. Some say if his urine doesn't like putrefy, like, I don't know, Acherim Omrim, others say, which is usually Remeir, anyone who bathes like in the winter, and his flesh doesn't, you know, come off with vapor. I think his voice sounds like a woman's voice. They said thin. I think it's like a high-pitched voice. You can't distinguish his voice from a woman's voice. Who's an ilonit? So this is going like Beit Hillel before, right? Beit Hillel said age 20, and Beit Shammai said age 18 for both, and Reb Lezer did one and one. So he says, "Kol she bat esrim v'lo yivish tesaro." If a woman is 20 years old and doesn't have, you know, pubic hairs, but filo yivila achar mikan, even if she develops it afterwards, harehi ka'ilonit l'chol d'varei, she's an ilonit. Ve'elohein simanel, these are her simanim. Kol she'en l'dadim, it's like her breasts don't develop. Umit kasheh b'shah tashmish, she has a lot of pain in tashmish. Rishmi gamlil omer, it means her stomach part doesn't sort of, you know, bend over a little bit over the makom. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, she's got a heavy voice. You can't tell the difference between her and the man. Okay? Let me do a few more lines and then I'll pause in a couple lines. Now, the Gemara says, Itmar, Simanisris, Rav Hunamar, Adshukul. Now, we had all the Simanim. Rav Huna says the person has to have all the simanim. Rav Yochanan Amar, Apilu Bechad Mihan. Rav Yochanan says you just have to have one of the simanim. So the Gemara says, Heicha Devi Shtei Sarov Zakan, if the person developed two hairs in his beard, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dachu Kulan. So then we require all the simanim. Ki Pligi Bishloei Vi. But let's say he didn't develop hair in his beard. So do I need all or one? So the Gemara says, so that we think we have them achloket. So Rav Huni says you need all the siman, and Rav Huni says even one siman is enough to do it for you. So La Hadamar Hu Rabba Bar Huna Bar Avu or the Rabbanan, but in the instant Rabba Bar Hu has said to the Chachamim, Einu Beib Rav Nachman, I want you to like keep an eye on Rav Nachman. He besaro mala hevel, if his flesh, in other words, when he bathes, if his flesh gives off a vapor, Otiv Le Barat, I'll give him my daughter. In other words, there was suspicion that Rav Nachman was a sris. So if he bathes and gives off a vapor, so then he's not a sris. He's got one siman that's not in the course of being a sris. So then he's not a sris as far as, so he says, come on, so who is Rabbi Bura going like? Rav Huna, Masami's going like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, you need all the simanim. So you need all the simanim, you're not a sris. So you didn't have all the simanim, so I'm good. So the verse is low. Rav Nachman, CK Dikna Havilate. The verse says, no, Rav Nachman had like spikes in his beard. He had some, you know, facial hair. So then everybody agrees that if you you need all the simanim to be a sris, if he doesn't have all the simanim, he's not a sris, according to everybody. So he was looking, is he lacking one of the simanim? So he's lacking one of the simanim. So then if he's lacking one of the simanim, I'm going to marry him off to my daughter. Okay, so we just went through the simanim for a sris and an iloni, and we said that the key is that that according to Rav Huna, you need all the siman, and according to Yochanan, you need only one. So if he doesn't have any hair in the beard, so everybody holds, you need all the siman, then everybody holds that you need all of simanim. I didn't say right. If he has hair in the beard, he's got hair in the beard, then everybody says you need all the simanim. But my machloket is where he doesn't have hair in the beard. So do I need to all the simanim to establish is this sris or not? So that was my machloket. Okay. Who's your questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
He's not talking about beard, right?
No, that's what he's talking about. No, normally we're talking about pubic hair. Yeah. But what's the beard?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the beard is typical, you know, well, it's like the making say Rashavi usually, you know what I mean? Like, if you have here, here, usually, I mean, like, usually,
they're going based on.
Well, I don't know if it means exactly that way, but it means like typically, you know, when one develops, I mean, typically when one develops, the other develops. So, like, if you have, you know, facial hair, that's more like a siman than it's not.
So, you look at pubic hair or beta shechi.
No. In other words, when we talk about
shtei sa'arot,
as far as I'm aware, we need pubic hair.
But over here, we're talking about facial hair.
Facial hair, we're talking about here. In other words, here with
if he has this, then.
No, in other words, again, let's go back. The Bryce says, you know what? By the way, when Shane was like, calm. One second. Okay. All right, let me go further in the Gemara, and that's any other questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay, so now, we're four lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, Hasaris lo cholitz v'lo miyabim v'chein ayloni v'chulei. So then, if you remember in the Mishnah, we had the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer as to which Saris, you know, gauges and chalitza. So according to Rabbi Kiva, Saris Adam, and according to Rabbi Lezer, the Saris Chama. Then the Mishnah says, again, the Sris doesn't do Chalitza. So Katani Sris do Mida Iloni. So here, what was here, the Gemara is going to say the Tana is paskening like Rabbi Akiva. The Tana learns Sris, which is similar to the Iloni. My Iloni bide Shemayim, that the Iloni is bide Shemayim, that definitely is the case. Av Sris bide Shemayim. He says, Ustama to Rabbi Akiva, the Amar bide Adamin bide Shemayim lo. So when the Tana teaches me at the end, that the Sris doesn't do it, he's talking about this like the Sris is like the irony, which is the Sris Chama doesn't engage the Chalitza. I remember that was Rabbi Leibowitz said that's one of the proofs that we're passing like Rabbi Akiva, because he have Machloket and then Estam. Okay, now, Hasrisha Chalas Levim Tolo Pasla Bechulai. Now, we said that of the Sris that's Patur, so according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the Sris Chama is totally out of the Parsha. So the Sris Chama, in other words, Reuben was married to Rachel, and he leaves Shimon. Shimon is a Sris Chama. He's been a Sris from birth. So if he did Chalitza to Rachel, so lo pasas, Rachel can marry a Kohen. If she's not a Chalitza, even though she went through a ceremony, ceremony means nothing because he wasn't a bar Chalitza. He says, but if he was Boel her, then she's Pasel for Kahuna, because then she had relations with her husband's brother, which is one at Winerva. So the Gemara says, Tama Dabalahu. So the implication of the Mishnah is that she's possible from Kahuna because he, the brother, had Beel with her. Ha'acher lo. That means, let's say there are other brothers as well. So if somebody else would have Beel with her, in other words, a person not one of the brothers would have Beel with her. In other words, she has a Zika as a result of the death of her husband with the brothers, the surviving brothers, the other brothers besides Shimon, his Levi Yehuda, who are normal. So the question is, what's her status right now? If she has relations with another man, you know.
Belterine.
But you're getting better at it. Okay, now, it means Reuben was married to Rachel, and Reuben dies. Bye-bye. Reuben has a brother, Shimon, who's a Sris Chama. Okay, Reuben also has a brother, Levi and Yehuda. Levi and Yehuda are healthy people. So now, if Shimon does Chalitza with her, she's not considered a Chalitza. If Shimon has Bia with her, now he passes her. Let's say somebody else, Avigdor, who's not a brother, has relations with her when she's Omeid for Yibo. So it sounds like Ha'acher, lo. So it sounds like if somebody else has relations with her after the death of her husband, so he doesn't pass her. So lema to be here for the Rav Hamnuna. So that should be a cash against Rav Hamnuna. The Amar Shomer Yavam Shizinta, he holds that the woman is a Shomer Yavam. In other words, she's awaiting Yibam. She's Psula the Yavama. She's Psula now to her Yavama. In other words, if she is, quote, Mizana with somebody else between the death of her husband and, let's say, she's waiting for Yehuda to Yibam with her, now she's Pasla on Yehuda. In other words, she's like a married woman because of the Zika. She's like a married woman who engaged in extramarital affair. So that's what Rav Nuna holds. But the implication of our mission is it's not that way. So the words is low. Who is in if you lost her nami? No, the truth would be Lav Dafka Shimon has relations with her. If anybody, Shimon is out of the partial evil. If he has relations with her, he apostles her. But if anybody else who's not the healthy brother has relations, he also apostles her. But I didn't tell a ratio, but today it's just because the Mishnah taught me one halakha in talking about him, which was that Hasri Shechalas Levim told Apostle, is talking about him already that doesn't apostle her, Tananami Sefer B'Hidei. So he continues on. And he says if he has relations with her, he does apostle her. But it doesn't mean that he's the only one who can have relations with her and apostle her. Right. Okay. Now, I got to move on. We'll finish. We have a minute or two for questions, and that will be it. So this is a different case. This is where Reuven's wife, Racha, was an Iloni. So if the brothers, healthy brothers, they do Chalitza with her, he or she could still marry a Kohen. Even though she went to Chalitza, she's not a Chalitza, because she's not in the parsha of Yibam Chalitza, because she's an Iloni. One minute. But if they have Bia with her, then they're passeling her from the Kuna, because then they're having relations with their late brother's wife. So he says, and then that's one of the Arayot, an Erva. So the Gemara says, So if they didn't have halo balua, one second. Yeah, means if they didn't have relations with her, then she is permissible to a Kohen. So come on, look, Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds like our mission doesn't follow the Chita Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He Rabbi Yehuda Amar Island Zoning. So we had this earlier in the Gemara. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that by definition, an Ilonit is a Zona, because he holds, since an Ilonit, in other words, the purpose of marriage is to have kids. So he quotes a Pasuk in Hosea, and the Pasuk says, let me get the Pasuk out. It says, Achlu b'lo yispau, they'll eat and they won't be satiated. Hiznu b'lo yifrotza, they'll engage in Nus, but they won't multiply. So if you're engaging in relation to a woman and she can't multiply, that's the type of nus. So by definition, not that she, you know, had relations with people who were promiscuous, but an Ilonit is called a zona. So an Ilonit is a zona, so Kohen can never marry her, even if they don't have relations with her. As Ilonit never. Okay, now I have some interesting Torah here about other things, but all right, let me hear what everybody has to say. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up, Yosef?
We're saying the lady is bringing for Chalitza or Yibam. She goes and has a relation with someone else. You're considering a zona? That she can't.
Right. Well, she's there. She's definitely possible to Kuna.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know about that. In other words, it's like she's like a married woman getting an adulterous affair. Wow. Not quite. She's not Chai Misa.
I know.
But she got the Zika. Right. Wow. Okay.
What was his question?
All right. He was just saying, if a woman is waiting for Yibam or Chalitza and has an extramarital affair, so to speak, she's possible to marry a Kohen. Possible to marry a Kohen. Okay, any other questions?
You have to say that the purpose of marriage is just to have children. She's too young, too old, or after she's pregnant.
Yeah, but it means
and that, also it
yeah,
says that there
yeah,
is
but it means she never in her life can have
a
Okay, we're going to do a quick... Okay, one quick story, that will be it. Okay, listen quickly, Ruth. I have to do this quickly. So the words are going to come. If you don't hear, you'll listen to yutorah.org, okay? As medical sciences advances, new halakhic issues arise that can only be unraveled by Gadol, possessing both deep knowledge of Torah and a genuine understanding of the relevant technology. Not so very long ago, there was some confusion about whether one may be... whether one may be Michal Shabbos, save a newly born fetus of 8 months gestation. Anyway, you go to the question about the Imhot Shah. I'm cutting to the point. So one Talmud Chacham approached the Chazon Ish about such a case and received the following response. The Chazon Ish said, Nowadays, such infants must be given appropriate care, even though this entails Chilul Shabbos. This is not only true about an 8-month fetus with undeveloped hair and nails, but even on a fetus with 6 months gestation whose hair and nails are undeveloped. If the hair and nails aren't developed, that's more of a semen than he's not a bar kayama. Even though in the time of Chazal, such a baby cannot survive, nowadays they often do. Someone once asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to explain this apparent contradiction. Why do we find that many premature babies survive, even though Chazal say they cannot? They don't explain. Modern science has produced a device that simulates the womb, an incubator. Chazal only recorded what they observed about the mortality of premature fetuses in the absence of an incubator, not in the presence of one. A premature neonate, incubation can be compared to a fetus whose development was halted and then continued. So I'll never discuss such a case. The Gadol concluded, don't forget to be filled with gratitude to Hashem for life saving one as modern as medicine. Okay.
So a 7-month-old would survive, 8-month-old would not survive.
I don't know what to tell you. One second.